Genesis chapter 5, we want to look at verses 21 to 24 tonight. We'll just take time to read them again together. Verses 21 and 24, we read, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." As you enter this book, and indeed this chapter, Genesis chapter 5, you're entering what some have called the graveyard of the Bible. As we have walked through and read through this chapter, we have travelled through what some have also called not only the graveyard of the Bible, but also the desert of death. I am sure that during the course of your own life, you have taken time to be in a graveyard and to walk through a cemetery. And as you walk through a graveyard and a cemetery, you're confronted by the familiar scene of a gravestone. A gravestone, of course, is something that is erected, and it gives you the basics of the life of an individual. It tells you their name, it tells you when they were born, it tells you when they had died, and it also tells you perhaps one or two basic things about the life of that individual. Well, here in Genesis chapter 5, you are travelling through the first cemetery or graveyard of this world. And here, as we have read through these verses, we have essentially been confronted with the gravestones of all who have been on earth from Adam up until this point in time in this chapter. It has been called the graveyard of the Bible or the desert of death because we are confronted often with the phrase, "and he died, and he died." In actual fact, this phrase appears some 8 times in this chapter or in this graveyard of the Bible. As you read through the life of an individual, you'll find they're born, the details of the fact that they had sons and daughters are given. And then you read these words, "and he died." For example, speaking of Adam in verse 5, we read, "All the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." Again, verse 8, "All the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died." Again, verses 11, 14, 17, 20, 27, and 31, you read this phrase, "and he died." Of course, all of these verses and this phrase, it contradicts the lie that Satan told Eve in the Garden of Eden. Satan, remember, came to Eve and he said to her, "If you eat of this fruit, you shall not die." And with this death bell ringing loudly and clearly in the ear, you then find in verse 24, there is a sudden change or a sudden alteration. The Holy Spirit zooms in on the life of Enoch. And from verse 21, it all seems the same as the previous individuals. It tells us that he was born. It tells us that after 65 years, he had a son named Methuselah. But then you find in verse 24, when you would expect to read the words, "and he died," you actually don't read those words. What do we read? Well, verse 24 tells us, "And he was not, for God took him." And herein lies the highlight of this chapter. Amidst all of the death, amidst this graveyard, this cemetery, amidst the tragedy of all that has gone before, here we read of a man who didn't die, but rather a man who was immediately taken into heaven and into the presence of God. Here was a man who walked with God, who lived for God, and then left this world suddenly, having not died, and entering into the heavens to be at home with his Father. And unlike Enoch, whilst you cannot cheat death, yet like Enoch, you can conquer death. Through Christ, you can enter into life eternal. Sadly, we will all have to experience that which Enoch didn't experience. We will all have to experience death. Enoch, we're told here in this verse that he was not, for God took him. In other words, that means Enoch didn't die. He was immediately taken into heaven. But tonight we will all experience what Adam experienced, what Seth experienced, what Methuselah experienced. We will all experience death. But the beauty of it is that we can conquer death. We can overcome death. Now we will experience death, but we can conquer death because 1 Corinthians 15 verse 54 we read, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And Paul reminds us that yes, we will die, but death can lose its sting. The word sting here, it refers to the sting of a bee or a scorpion. And the thought here is of destruction and pain. Paul, however, goes on to explain that we can have the sting or the pain or the destruction of death removed through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, he conquered death. Yes, he died, but on the third day, he was raised into heaven and he is now seated at the throne of God with his heavenly Father. He conquered death. And so tonight, if you're trusting in Christ and you're resting in his finished work, then you too can conquer death. Because if you're resting in Christ, then one day your body, yes, in the grave, one day your body will rise again. And it will enter into heaven. Oh yes, you may die unlike Enoch, but you can conquer death like Enoch. And you can enter into heaven by trusting in the resurrected Jesus Christ. The book of 1 Corinthians calls Christ the first fruits of his people. What does that mean? That means Christ entered into heaven. He experienced a bodily resurrection. And because he experienced a resurrection, all of his people will in likewise and in turn experience a similar resurrection. In other words, your body one day will be raised again. If you're resting in Christ, and it will conquer death, and it will enter into heaven. Oh, tonight, what a testimony here we have. Enoch, yes, he didn't die. But he still went into heaven. For 300 years of his life, it was said of Enoch that he walked with God. And then one day he was not. For God took him. One day God just took him into heaven. And I trust tonight that that will be your experience. That one day you will leave this earth, you will exit this earth, and you'll enter heaven. And sadly not enter a hell for eternity. And so tonight, for the time that remains in this service, I want us to think simply about Enoch and his exit. Enoch and his exit. Because that's what really we have here. Enoch here, he walked with God and then he exited this world. I want you to notice a few things about this thought, Enoch and his exit. Notice firstly here the condemnation he expected. The condemnation he expected. Verse 21 and 22 we read, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. In the times before the flood, individuals, they lived for far longer than people do today. For example, in verse 5 we read of Adam that he lived to 930. And verse 8 explains that Seth lived until he was 912. Enoch reached the age of 65. And as soon as he reached the age of 65, he had a son. He was privileged, and he was not like many today who reach the age of 65 and don't have children. Enoch, he hit 65 and he had a son. And he called this son Methuselah. Now something happened when Enoch turned 65 and he had a son, something changed. Because the very fact that he called his son Methuselah indicates that Enoch understood that something was coming. He understood that condemnation was going to come upon this world for its sin. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, we read that Enoch wasn't living in days of spiritual prosperity. You might think that because he walked with God, but chapter 6, verse 5 tells us, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So you imagine Enoch. Here's a man and he's living in a very, very perverse, a very, very sinful and a very, very depraved generation. God actually looked at the generation of Enoch and he said, "It repenteth me that I have created mankind." God, he felt as if he had done something terrible because he looked at the sin of the world and he said, "It repenteth me, I have made man." And Enoch lived in a wicked time. But he understood that God was going to judge the world quite soon through the flood. Now, how can I say that? Well, when he called his name Methuselah, he shows us this. The name Methuselah means, when he dies, it will come. When he dies, it will come. In other words, when my son dies, judgment will come. Condemnation will come. And if you get out the calculator and do your biblical arithmetic, you will find that Enoch's understanding actually happened to the very year. If you figure out the chronology from this and the life of Noah, who was 600 when the flood came, you will find that the very year that Methuselah died, when he was 969, the Bible's oldest man, the very year that Methuselah died, the flood came. The flood, the rains came and it consumed the entire earth. And so Enoch, as he had his son, he realized that God was going to condemn the world for his sin through the sending of the flood. You see, whilst God is patient and he pardons, he also punishes. As a holy God, he does and must punish sin. Now that doesn't mean that God isn't long-suffering. But at the same time, God is a God who punishes sin. He is holy. He is righteous. And as part of his indignation against unrighteousness, the result is that he punishes sin. It is because of his character, his attributes, who he is. He abhors sin. He has a holy hatred for sin. And so he punishes sin. But does that mean that he isn't long-suffering? No. You think about it. Whenever Enoch was 65, he had a son named Methuselah. And Methuselah lived until he was 969. Then the flood came. In other words, although Enoch knew that the flood was going to come, it didn't actually come. God's condemnation didn't come for almost 1,000 years. And so God was long-suffering. Yes, he would eventually punish sin, but God was long-suffering. He let mankind drift on in its sin for another almost 1,000 years. And oh, tonight, how long-suffering has God not been to you? Yes, he punishes sin. He condemns sin. And in your sin, not saved, you deserve the righteous judgment of God. And yet here you are this evening, not cut off, having another opportunity to hear the gospel. Oh God, he is a God of punishment, but he's also been long-suffering to you, hasn't he? He's been patient. Indeed, the book of Jude also speaks about Enoch, and it speaks of him understanding the flood was going to come. And in Jude 14, we read there, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh when 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts." And they understood again Jude realized that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, he understood that one day God would come. And did you count the amount of times the word ungodly appeared in those verses? Many, many times. And Enoch, he understood that God was going to come with his saints and with his angels to execute judgment upon the ungodly. You see, in sin before God, you're under the sentence of God. You're under the condemnation and wrath of God. And yet tonight the Lord's been patient with you, hasn't he? He's put up with your sin. He has put up with your ungodliness. Your complaining and your murmuring, just as he obviously put up with, as we read of here in Jude. He's put up with you. And here's another opportunity. Yes, to understand that God punishes sin, but also there is a means of escape from this punishment. Only to be found in Jesus Christ. Oh, understand tonight what Enoch understood when he had his little son Methuselah. Understand that God must punish sin. Henry Ward Beecher was a very prominent preacher in the 1800s. However, towards the end of his life, he turned from the faith and he embraced Darwinism. And coming to the end of his life, when he was dying, it is said that his last words were, "Here comes the mystery." But my friend, there is no mystery in history. Enoch predicted that the flood would come. The very year Methuselah, his son, would die. And that's when the flood came. And tonight you need to understand that yes, whilst the judgment of God may not have fallen upon you just yet, one day it will. One day you will experience condemnation if you're not resting in Christ. The condemnation he expected. I want you to see secondly here the conversion he experienced. We read in verses 21 and 22, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Whenever Enoch was 65, he had a son. And he called his name Methuselah, meaning when he dies, it will come. And we read that from this time, verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. In other words, whenever Enoch became a father, there was a profound impact that it had upon his life. Yes, it was an emotional impact and a circumstantial impact and change for him, but it was much, much more than that. Whilst we're not really told anything about Enoch before he didn't walk with God and the birth of Methuselah, we are simply left to deduce that from the absence of information that he didn't walk with God before he had Methuselah. It says here that Enoch walked with God after he had Methuselah 300 years. And so we can deduce from that he didn't walk with God before he had sons and daughters. But in understanding the condemnation of God, he then experienced conversion. He then began to walk with God for the rest of his earthly life. Now, remember, Enoch was an important man. He was a patriarch. Jude experienced for us very, very clearly, he was seventh from Adam. Can you imagine walking throughout life, being the seventh from Adam? Can you imagine going in this generation, which we've understood as a wicked and a perverse generation, going about your business, and everybody pointing at you, saying, look, there's the seventh from Adam. He's in the family tree of Adam, and he's in the family tree of Seth, and so on. He's related to them. And so you might think that it was hard or easy for Enoch to walk with God, but it wasn't. It was very, very hard. Nevertheless, we read here, he walked with God. Yes, society was wicked, but he was converted. He understood the condemnation of God, and he walked with God for the next 300 years of his earthly life. And understanding condemnation should then lead to conversion and change. It should lead to repentance from sin and faith in Jesus Christ. And here tonight, like Enoch, I believe that you understand what Enoch understood. You understand that God must and God will punish sin. That he will finally and definitely and eternally punish sin. He will punish it in spiritual death and eternal death. And so tonight, why not experience what Enoch experienced? And experience conversion to Jesus Christ. Like Enoch, as he was 65 and he then walked with God. Why not, in light of God's condemnation, why not turn from your sin and rest in Jesus Christ? And you can walk throughout the rest of your life like Enoch, with that consistent walk, that persistent walk, a walk that will last the rest of your earthly existence. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he spoke of their conversion as they had turned to God from idols. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, we read that they were to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from wrath to come. And it seemed that the Thessalonican believers, they understood there was a coming wrath, and so they turned to God in light of his condemnation. And whilst wrath may not have come, yet it most certainly will come. It will come, although it has been delayed for you. And here you are tonight, and you've understood that God's going to punish sin. Why not, like Enoch, turn from your sin and look to Jesus Christ and be converted. Be changed, just like Enoch was. You know, in 1998, Carla Faye Tucker, who had been convicted of a gruesome and terrible murder, was on death row and later executed. Before she was executed, she heard the gospel through prison ministry and she came to Christ. It was said that she said on the execution chair, "I'm going to be face to face with Christ now. I will see his people when I get there. And I will wait for you." And in light of her condemnation, yes, it was at the very last or 11th hour of her life, but she was converted. She made good use of the opportunity, and she came to Jesus Christ. The condemnation he expected, the conversion he experienced. I want you to notice thirdly here the conveyance he enjoyed. The conveyance he enjoyed. Verse 24, we read, "Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." There's a little story told of a little girl who was telling her mother the life of Enoch. She said, "Enoch used to take long walks with God. One day he walked so far, God said, 'It's too far to go back. Come on home and be with me.'" And you know, this is exactly really what happened with Enoch. Enoch, he one day was out and he was doing his work. He was walking with God. He was minding his own business and doing his own thing. He was living for God in the private realm and in the public realm and in family and in company. And then one day we simply read this. "He was not, for God took him." Now we don't know all of the details of his exit from this life or of his departure. But Hebrews 11 verse 5, there we have the hall of faith. And it tells us something about Enoch and his leaving this life. It says there, verse 5 of Hebrews 11, "He was translated that he should not see death." The word translated there, it means to transfer. And it has the idea of being carried across. So I want you to see it. Enoch one day, undoubtedly walking with God, maybe out in the garden talking with God, maybe out doing some farming, whatever it was he did, just going on about his daily life. And then suddenly, one day, he was carried across. One day, he was transferred from earth and immediately into heaven. You see, for the saint, death is not the end. It is but the beginning. You may be on earth today, but in heaven tomorrow. You know, there are those today who think and say, whenever you die, that's the end. You just go into the earth and your flesh, it decays, and that's it. There's no existence after death. But Enoch proves us wrong, this thinking wrong, doesn't he? He proves that you enter into life eternal. And one day you will be in one of two places. You will be with Enoch in heaven. Or sadly, you will be with Judas in hell. Oh, what will happen? What will happen to you when it is said of you that God took you? When God takes you, just as he took Enoch, one day minding his own business. One day God may come to you and come to you suddenly. Where will you be? Will you be in heaven or in hell? You know, we read of another man in the Bible, the only man who didn't die on earth in this life. And we read in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11 of Elijah that it came to pass, they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Again, notice what happened to Elijah. He went up into heaven. You see, although the saint will die physically, he will live on spiritually. By virtue of Christ's resurrection, he too will live forever. Oh, think of it. Christ, he conquered death. He was raised again. And he was conveyed from earth to heaven. And if you're saved, if you're looking to his finished work on the cross, that will be your exit from this earth as well. And oh, tonight I trust that it is. I trust that it will be said of you that it was said of Enoch, that one day that God just took you and you then went to be in heaven. Confederate General Stonewall Jackson said, coming to the end of his life, "Let us cross the river and rest under the shade of the trees." And tonight there is going to be that great crossing over, isn't there? One day you will cross the river of life and enter death. But I wonder, where will you be? Will you be in heaven? That great conveyance, will you be translated into heaven? Or you will be cast into hell? Oh, what way will you exit this world this evening? The condemnation he expected, the conversion he experienced, the conveyance he enjoyed. I want you to see lastly here the closure he encountered. Verses 23 and 24 we read again. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Enoch was translated immediately to heaven when he was age 365. You say to me that is very, very old, and it is. But Enoch, in terms of the life that he lived, in comparison to those around him, Enoch actually went to heaven at a very young age. It was the equivalent of 30 or 35 today. For example, his son Methuselah, he lived till he was 969. Adam, he lived till he was over 900 years. And so here's a man, and he went to heaven at age just 365. In other words, he was taken in the prime of his life. He was taken suddenly at a relatively young age. You see, Enoch had finished his life's work. He had walked with God and his family because he had sons and daughters. He had walked for God where it is most difficult to walk with God and his family. Walked with God in the public realm of life. He was seventh from Adam. And one day, God just simply said, "That's it, Enoch. You're in the prime of life, yes. But I'm going to take you now. And I'm going to take you home to be with me." And whilst some are taken slowly, others are taken suddenly. The Lord may choose to take you from this life into the next suddenly. And that will either happen through death or through his return. And tonight, don't make the mistake that because you're young and you have plenty of time, so to speak, that you'll just live life as you want to, and then at the very end of your life that you'll just look to the Lord and trust that He saves you. Oh, my friend, the Lord could take you suddenly in the prime of life. Because that's what happened with Enoch. And that's what may happen to you. That's also what happened to young Robert Murray McShane. Didn't even reach the age of 30. And the Lord saved him at a young age. And it could be said of Murray McShane that it was said of Enoch, he walked with God. And then the Lord took him in the prime of life. Queen Elizabeth I, she died in 1603. And it is said that her final words here on earth were, "All my kingdom for a moment of time." You imagine it. All of it, all of the kingdom taken suddenly in a moment of time. And the Lord could come to you like He did with Enoch, and He could just take you suddenly to be with Him. Are you ready? Could it be said of you in your life that it was said of Enoch that you walked with God, that you had that conversion experience, that you understood that God was going to judge this world, and in light of that, you walked with God, you repented of your sin, you looked to Christ, and you walked with God. You know, I read of a gravestone recently which said, "Grim death took me without any warning. I was well at night and dead in the morning." Oh, tonight you could be in the prime of life, but the Lord could then take you. Are you ready? Are you ready? Just like Enoch was ready. Are you ready? Should the Lord take you? Enoch and his exit. May God bless His word to your heart and life this evening.